Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You notice that's in all capital letters. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and that is Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let us pray. Father, as we look into your word today, guide me, help me to help your people, help us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Help us to learn from your word the understanding of who you are, and your great love for us. And help all of us, Lord, who have experienced that love, to be ready to share it with other people. Now bless, we pray, because we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now we're here at another Christmas. This coming spring, it'll be 40 years since the church was started. And we started actually on an Easter Sunday, meeting in a hotel up at Carowinds for a couple of weeks, and then we rented a facility out next to the dam in Fort Mill. It was a closed-down seafood restaurant. The biggest negative about it was on Dam Road. And people say, where are your church located? On Dam Road. What? And the road to the dam. You know, I'd always explain it after I started getting a lot of questions. So this is at least 39 Christmases that we've come to this same service to celebrate our Savior, to look and long for his coming, to take us to heaven to be with him forevermore, to share the good news with people around the world, to sing Christmas carols and decorate and be seasonal and to rejoice in the holiness of God in giving Christ to die in our place. We celebrate his birth, but that's not all that we celebrate. We celebrate the whole story. And this year, I want to focus on the names and titles that are given unto the Savior as a reminder to us of who he is. And by knowing who he is, we know what he has done for us. A title like Savior helps us to understand he redeems us. He saves us from our sins. He died to provide the sacrifice for our sins. So I want to focus on these names in Matthew and Luke. In Luke chapter 2, we are given the expression in verse number 11 as a Savior. In both Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, we have the explanation that his name would be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The term Christ, the title Lord, all of these have meaning. His name has meaning. He's not just called Jesus because his mother liked that name. No, this name was given by God. The angel delivered the message that this was to be his name. Now, first of all, both Matthew and Luke record Joseph and Mary were told that the child that would be born to Mary was of the Holy Ghost, and he would be called Jesus in all capital letters. And by that capitalization of that name, it means Jehovah's salvation. And that capitalization is the same when Lord is all capital letters. It refers to Jehovah. And that's who Jesus is, the salvation of Jehovah that was given to save his people from their sins. Hebrews understood this name, Jesus. They understood it was the same name they would call Joshua, but they would say it with a Hebrew accent of their words as Yeshua. And there were many young boys named Yeshua. Just like in the Latin American community, there are many young boys named Jesus. And that is translated into English as Jesus. And Yeshua is translated Joshua into English. From the Greek translation, we get Jesus. In Luke 1:31 and Matthew 1:21, the angel God sent named Gabriel reveals to Mary that his name is to be Jesus. And Joseph received these things in a dream. The angel did not visit him personally as he did to Mary, but he was sent a dream from God to understand that Mary was expectant with child before they came together. It was an espousal of marriage. It was a contract of marriage, much more binding than an engagement in our society today. But there was no relation between them until after the Lord Jesus was born. And then the New Testament tells us they had other children. They were gathered together at one point to see Jesus, Mary, and the children. And he was had a crowd, and he had no time for them. And he said, all of these are my mothers and brothers and sisters. And he did not take time with his family at that point. Jesus, a name that's special, a name that means something to people, a name that can calm the fears and comfort the heart when troubled waters come. Brother Joe, I'm hoping Jesus is a comfort to you and to your family in what you're going through. He has the power to help us. And he longs to help us. He wants us to call upon him. He wants us to believe him for things when we pray. God loves us and gave Jesus to die in our place. The name Lord capitalized is Jehovah, the name God revealed himself to Moses as the self-existent one, the ever-faithful one. Jesus is the salvation of Jehovah. His name is to be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So his name means Savior. His name means God's salvation. God provided salvation for man because man cannot save himself. And God didn't die for any sin of his own. He died for our sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. John the Baptist was miraculously born to parents of old age, and he was the forerunner. He came in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way for the Messiah to come and be publicly known. And when Jesus came to him for baptism, John announced to the people there at the waters, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse number 29. He understood who Jesus was. He baptized him. He saw the Spirit of God in the form of a dove come down upon him. And that was an assured vision to John that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who could redeem man from his sins. John was mighty, but John was a man like we are. Jesus took on flesh, but he was not a man like we are. He had no sinful nature, and that was the purpose in the virgin birth. All the descendants of Adam have received, because of him and his sin, a nature to commit sin. Children do not have to be corrupted and taught wrong to sin. They start from the time they're just a tiny little baby doing stuff that's disobedient, that's of their own human nature, that's their strong will, we say, when a little bitty one does something and we tell them no and they go ahead and do it anyway. My daughter reached and grabbed the socket. We were sitting at a table or something, there was a socket there, And she reached over and grabbed Saki. I spanked her hand and said, no, no, don't do that. That'll hurt you. She looked at me and reached right back after it again. I spanked her hand again. No, no, don't do that. That'll hurt you. Looked at me and reached back again. I had to move her. I was too hurt in my heart to spank her hand again, you know. But her will, she was just a baby. She wasn't over 2 years of age. And nobody had to teach her to do wrong. Her nature within her of being a human being related to Adam causes us to have that nature of sin. Jesus didn't have that nature because he was not born with an earthly father. The Holy Spirit of God implanted the seed in Mary as a virgin, and she carried the birth of Christ, still a virgin, when she gave birth to the Savior. Isaiah 53 tells about the Lamb of God and the sin that he would bear for us. I want to read a few verses from Isaiah 53. If you want to turn there, you can. Or just hold on and I'll read to you. Starting with verse 3 in Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's what Jesus did for you and I. That's what that name Jesus means, the one who could be the Savior, who could bear the sins of all men, the one who could suffer the judgment of God on sin in his own body as he died on the cross and was buried to take our sins away. The people of Israel knew Isaiah. They knew of a virgin would conceive in chapter 7 and verse number 14. They knew of the punishment for sin that the one who was the Redeemer would bear from Isaiah 53, and yet they were blind to the truth of these things because of their own sin. Unsaved will acknowledge the babe this year. They'll listen to some Christmas music. They'll listen to stories. They might even attend church. They enjoy the foods and the festivities. Sadly, too many company parties are more around the jockeying for position and the drinking of what are called adult beverages, I call sinful stuff. I believe that as Christians we should abstain from all appearance of evil. My family has addiction to alcohol. My dad grew up at a table with five brothers and a sister and a mother and father, and his father kept a gallon of white liquor on the kitchen table and drank right there in front of his children, and every one of his children became alcoholics. And I was headed down that same path, and the only reason I'm not there today is the grace of God, that he saved me and took that away from me by the grace of God. That I see it destroy homes and families, drug addiction, alcohol addiction. Alcohol is the one drug that destroys more than any other, and it's legal in every state in the United States, and it's advertised, and it's defended. I won't defend it. I'll preach against it. I'll stand against it. I'm like Billy Sunday. I'll butt it with my head and bite it with my teeth, and when my teeth are gone, I'll gum it till I'm gone, you know, to try to expose the sinfulness of it and the destruction that it brings. The unsaved will gather for a little bit of the celebration of Christmas, but when the preaching of sin and consequences and hell and judgment and things like that, they'll begin to part company from us and have no desire to listen to those things. The expectation of the disciple, many turn away because they want the benefit of what can be brought to them, but no responsibility as a result. Secondly, the name Emmanuel. He fulfills Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 that his name would be Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. This is a clear declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ and how he is the one who has the power to redeem and the desire for men to come to him and to be saved. Luke said to Mary, he will be great. He will be the Son of the Highest. He shall be called the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God, Emmanuel, who is God with us. He's so much more. There were a lot of Jewish boys named Yeshua in that day and days following, but there's only one Jesus. There's only one who's without sin. There's only one who could pay the price of redemption for us, and he did. He's God in the flesh, the incarnation. He took on flesh to become our kinsman redeemer. God dying as God accomplished nothing because God didn't have any sin to pay a penalty for. But when he died as a man, he died for all of us. The one representative man who was perfect, who could pay the price for our sins. John's gospel reveals he's called the Word of God, the Logos, the express image of everything that God is. He is God in body, in flesh, but it's sinless flesh. He's called the Creator in John 1:3. He's called the Light of Life, but men loved darkness rather than light. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what happened to us. Somebody shared the gospel message and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saved us from our sins. In Philippians 2:5-11, it describes how he took on flesh and how he willingly died to pay the price for our sins. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. His name is Savior. His name is Lord. He is called the light of the Lamb of God and the light of the world. And he's referred to as the Christ. When we call him the Christ, it is the same for the Jewish people as Messiah. Hoi Christotheo, the anointed of God, is what Messiah means and Christ means. Christ is the one anointed of God to pay the price for our sins, and he willingly did that. When Herod learned in Matthew 2 and verse number 4 of the talk of Jesus' birth and the wise men who came to him, he questioned the scribes and the Jewish leaders where Christ would be born. Where is it prophesied in the Scripture the Christ is to be born, the Messiah of the Jews is to be born, the King of the Jews is to be born? And they told him in Bethlehem. They understood from Micah, and they quoted the verse to him that the Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, whose going forth have been of old, from everlasting, the Messiah, the Christ of God. Herod wanted to know, and Herod deceptively said, I want to go and worship him. Come back and tell me where he is. But Herod wanted to kill him, and he sent his soldiers, when he saw that the wise men didn't come back and tell him, he sent his soldiers to kill every infant boy up to 2 years of age. Can you imagine a mass murder of the babies of families in that day? Jeremiah had prophesied Rachel weeping for her children that this would happen. In Matthew 1, the genealogy is given how Jesus is the King of the Jews, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Back in Jeremiah chapter 23, this is quoted twice in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, and Jeremiah 33, verse 15 and 16. Chapter 23, verse 5, Scripture says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness," in all capital letters. Revelation fulfills when the Lord returns, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He fulfills this prophecy that Jeremiah made. He was of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of the kings. He will have a kingdom one day where he will rule and reign, and faithful of this generation will rule and reign with him. The church, the believers, those that suffer for him and are persecuted for him will find themselves rewarded in his kingdom to come. And he will be king over all kings and lord over all lords. When the Roman ruler Pilate questioned Jesus, that the Pharisees and the chief priests had brought Jesus to Pilate to judge him, try him, to crucify him, Pilate was warned by his wife, and Pilate questioned Jesus and could find no fault in him because Jesus would not defend himself. He said, "Are you a king?" He said, "Thou sayest that I am." Pilate questioned Jesus. He desired to turn him loose. He said, "I find no fault in this man." He said to the people, "It's the feast. We release a prisoner on the feast day. Whom shall I release unto you? Barabbas, this man in insurrection who caused murder, or Jesus?" And they said, "Release Barabbas." "What then shall I do with the one called the Christ?" "Crucify him. Crucify him." The Jewish leaders chanted with the people to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. So Pilate, who felt ill about this, washed his hands. Said, I wash my hands of this matter. If you want him crucified, you go ahead and do it. But he wrote the crime on the cross of all the men who died on the cross. Their crime was written there above them. The only crime he wrote about Jesus was the King of the Jews. And he wrote it in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." Boy, the religious leaders didn't like that. They said, don't write that. Write, "He says he's the King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I've written, I have written." When news of the birth of Christ spread, Herod, who had the title the King of the Jews, wanted him killed. He didn't want to share his reign over the Jewish people with anyone. He didn't want someone who was going to cause insurrection, who was going to cause trouble for the Roman Empire and it come back on him. Well, in that day, there were many Jewish boys with the name Joshua, but only one without sin, only one who's the Messiah, only one who could die on the cross to pay for our sins, and he willingly did so. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, 13 through 16, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Remember, when he asks a question, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. He already knows the answer. "Who do people say I am?" And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, risen from the dead." Herod thought that. He was guilty for taking the head off John the Baptist, and we heard all these miracles that Jesus was doing. He said, "This is John the Baptist, risen from the dead." Some said it was Elijah because of his miraculous power. Some said Jeremiah because he wept as a prophet of God. Some said one of the prophets. But he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was later persecuted for preaching about Jesus and his resurrection. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He said to religious rulers of his day in Acts 4 and verse number 10 that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, this man that was healed is healed in his name through his power. And he preached Jesus to them. In chapter 4 and verse number 12 he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men under heaven whereby men must be saved than the name Jesus. Jesus was called a Nazarene because he lived in the city of Nazareth. But he was not a Nazarite like John the Baptist, who had a vow like Samson of old. And in that vow, he could touch no dead body, he could drink no wine or touch a grape or things of that nature. There were numerous things involved in the Nazarite vow. Jesus did not take the Nazarite vow. He was called a Nazarene because of the city of Nazareth. There are many titles, many descriptive phrases, many names. Savior, Lord, the Christ, Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel. Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 9 and verse number 6, he'd be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What do you call him? We should be sure we call him our Lord. It's okay to call him Jesus. When we pray in Jesus' name. But I often refer to him as the Lord Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sins and mine. It's in his name we celebrate his birth. It's not wrong to celebrate the birth. The Jews had many feasts where they celebrated to remind them of the things of God. And this reminds us and gives us opportunity to remind the world Jesus came. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. And we have a celebration at Easter to celebrate his resurrection. So rejoice in his birth. Rejoice in the salvation he's provided. Share the good news with others as the shepherds did. This world needs to hear that desperately. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We praise you and thank you for these names and titles and descriptive phrases about who Jesus is and what he did for us and who we are in thy sight. So, Lord, as your sinful servants who've been saved by grace, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ your blessings on this congregation and their families. We ask, Lord, that you'll give us the mind of wisdom to know how to be a good witness at this season to our family and friends that we run into and with strangers that we meet. Bless, Lord, in the activities today that will follow and tonight. And we praise you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.